Hey, church family. Hope everybody's doing good. A little different times. Lots of uncertainty out there. We're going to try to have a little Sunday school here with you guys today. Pastor Eddie had asked if I would be willing to teach a Sunday school lesson online, and to be honest with you, I was quite hesitant about doing it until I looked at the title. And the title of our lesson today is At Peace. And in this time of uncertainty, I couldn't say no. So with that being said, let's get at our Sunday school lesson. Again, the title is At Peace. All who accept the gospel find peace with God. And we're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So the first section that we're going to look at is titled Justified with Benefits. And it's verses 1 through 5, so I'm going to read those for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, I know the very first thing I noticed is the first word in verse 1, which is therefore. So I've always been told when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. So, if you look back at the last word of chapter 4, what you got the last word in chapter 4, Meredith?
Justification.
So, justification. What is justification? Justification is a declaration of being right and being treated so. So, I heard it told this way. Imagine the world is in a courtroom, and the world is on trial, along with Matthew Green,
along with Meredith Green.
And the prosecuting attorney makes his opening statements, and he makes the statements, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then he calls forth his first witness, the first witness being Moses. He walks in with the law, and he looks at the judge, and he says, Your Honor, Matthew Ring has broken the law repeatedly. So what do? I slump down further in my chair, and I hang my head because I know it's true. Calls his next witness, and it's Satan. Satan walks in. He knows all my deepest, darkest, ugliest things in my life, and he starts telling them to the judge and to the entire courtroom. So I slid further down into my chair. And just when I think all hope is lost, the judge asks me to stand, and he looks at me and he says, Matthew, are these things so? And I can't refute them because they are so. And again, just when I think I'm doomed, there's nothing left. I'm helpless. My defense attorney approaches the bench. Good news is my defense attorney happens to be related to the judge. Happens to be his son. So he walks up to the bench, he leans over and he says, Hey, Daddy, you and I both know that I paid the death penalty for Matthew. And I'm going to exhibit A, my blood. The judge, with a big smile on his face, raises his gavel and slams it down and says, not guilty. That is justification, because I have been justified through Jesus Christ and his blood. So that is justification in a little nutshell. And with that being said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through justification by faith, we have peace. Peace with God. Isaiah 53:5. I'm going to read that for us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So Jesus' primary mission was to barter peace for on our behalf. He came here to create peace between God and mankind. And we know Jesus is known as the Prince of the Prince of Peace. And again, that's because he came to make peace between mankind and God. And that's having been justified by faith. These are some benefits that we have. Again, those first five verses are justified with benefits. Our first benefit is peace with God. Next benefit that Paul talks about is access. So, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So, access. If you think about 2,000 years ago, how revolutionary this statement would have been. Because access and a relationship with God was unheard of. Because you think about the temple courts. You think about Gentiles like us. They had their own separate court, and it was the furthest back. Then you had Jewish women. Theirs was a little closer, but it was still way away from the Holy of Holies. Then a little closer, you had the Jewish men. And then a little bit closer than that was the priest. And then you only had one person who one time a year for a brief period of time could enter into the Holy of Holies. And stories tell us that they would tie a rope around this fellow's ankle, and he had bells tied around his robe that if when he went in there, while he was performing his ritual duties, that if he wasn't right in some case and he fell over, they'd have a way to drag him out. Well, all that ended on the cross, because the Bible tells us that when it was finished on the cross, the veil of the temple, which separated man from God, was ripped from the bottom to the top.
Top to bottom.
God ripped the veil and opened up an ability for us to have a relationship with Him. So that's our next benefit. The next benefit spoken of here is our hope of the glory of God. So you think about the hope of the glory of God. I know me and Mary have both talked about this a lot and what this is pointing towards. And in reality, we believe that it's pointing to one day our glorification, being in the glory of God in heaven, and that hope that we have. And again, this hope that we're talking about is not that kind of hope where you cross your fingers and you say, man, I really hope this happens. This is can be stated as a happy certainty. This hope is a happy certainty. And that means a lot right now. When we have the things that are going on in our world right now with this virus and all the uncertainty of it, that we have hope, because most of the world does not have the same hope. I mean, if we looked at religion or Christianity as we do, but if we looked at it as just a philosophy, just to be able to get through the struggles in life here on earth, then it's for nothing. We're just wasting our time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But we have a hope, we have a happy certainty that there is a hope of the glory of God. And we praise Jesus for that, because it's through Him that we have this. The next benefit that we have, which sounds a little strange to us in our flesh, is that we have hope in, we glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. So this word tribulation that we have comes from the Latin word of tribulum. I think that's how it's pronounced. But what it was a piece of wood that had spikes driven through it that they would drag over harvested grain, and it would separate the chaff from the wheat. Mm-hmm. So it would separate the things that weren't needed from the good things. So these tribulations, in a sense, are helping build our character, and it's going to make us better people. I've got here, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? So, I mean, people ask that question a lot. And I'll tell you one thing, you're really overstating when you say good people. So we won't even try to tackle that good people thing. But a good God, why does a good God let bad things happen in the world? Sometimes we need to be careful what we call bad. Ask Joseph. You know, I remember when I was little, I remember when the girls were growing up, you know, they'd come home from Sunday school and they would have colored Joseph in his coat of many colors. But let's think about Joseph. He was trafficked by his own brothers. First they planned to kill him. And then they decided that they would just sell him off into slavery. He was put in prison. He was forgotten about. But God had a plan for Joseph. Even though it was a very huge time of tribulation for Joseph, God had good intentions for that. Because had it not been for Joseph being where he was when he was, they would have starved to death. His entire family would have starved to death had it not been for Joseph. And just as Joseph said, as for you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And the result of that good was to save much people alive. The next benefit we're going to look at is in verse 5. And it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So hope, again, that is that happy certainty we have that this life isn't all that there is. That we know that through Jesus that we're going to get to spend eternity in glory with God. And then that hope talks about this love of God. And this love of God is to be looked at as a verb, not as a noun. Because that's how God used it. God gave his very best in his Son. And his Son gave his life for us. We've got a question here that our Sunday school book asks, and it says, can you think of times in your life when God has used difficulties to produce endurance, character, and hope? Were you able to see the difficulties as opportunities for growth, or did you see them only as obstacles to your own happiness?
Well, I know I have a very prominent example of this that I've shared before in my testimony, and it's in no means a tribulation in the sense that, like we talked about, that a lot of people experience in the world today. But for me, it was very profound. When I got my deferral from NC State, that was a big part of my life, and I thought that I deserved entrance into that university at that time. I was focused on what's going to benefit me, what's going to make me happiest. And now looking back on that, I would never be in the place that I am with my relationship with God if I had not experienced that. It definitely showed me patience and reliance on Him and complete dependence on Him. That's all we really have in this life to depend on, and that the things that this world offers are just gonna waste away and they're so vain and empty. But that, you know, all we have to cling to is this book and the author of it. So if I had not gone through that tribulation, in a sense, I would have never been drawn close to God like He planned to do all along. So.
Amen. Our next section we're gonna look at is called Justified Through His Death. And it is verses 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Justified through his death. So the first thing I want to look at here is we were yet without strength. So we were powerless. We had no ability to improve our condition. We are in essence just like the TV show that a lot of people watch nowadays, The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We were spiritually dead. But just in the nick of time, Christ came and he gave his life for us. So why we were without strength. And so again, we were powerless. We couldn't do anything for ourselves. If we were to get to heaven in some sense and get to the gate, and they look at you, Meredith, and say, why should I let you in? Why should you be able to enter into these gates? Is it because you go to church every Sunday? No.
Absolutely not.
Because you were baptized?
Nope.
Nope. Because you got three or four Bibles?
Nope.
No. We cannot do any of this stuff. Is not of ourselves. Because our righteousness is as of filthy rags.
Yeah.
We can't do anything for us. The only answer we would be able to give at that gate would be able to point in and say, that man over there with those five wounds, that's the only reason I should be allowed to come in here, is because I believe in him and for what he's done for me. So, while we were yet without strength, in due time, and just in the nick of time, Christ came and he died for us, the ungodly. The next thing is verses 7 through 8 can be a difficult thing to talk about. Is dying for other people. Look at human love versus divine love. So it's difficult for us to imagine dying for a total stranger, even a morally upright stranger. However, it is much easier to imagine someone being willing to die for a family member or a lifelong friend. Neither of these situations explain what Jesus did. He died for people who ignored him and who turned against him, and who finally killed him. And that's just a love that's hard for us to comprehend in this flesh that we're in now. It made me think of, you know, when you're thinking about whether or not you would give your life for a person, even if it was somebody that you really like or you're really close to. And we see instances of that all the time nowadays, you know, in the wars that we've been fighting. It made me think about this guy. His name is Michael Mansour. And in 2006, he was in Ramadi, Iraq. He was a Navy SEAL, and he was on a rooftop with his fellow SEALs, and it was during the battle for Ramadi. It was during Operation Iraqi Freedom, and an insurgent had worked his way to the wall of this building they were on and had thrown a grenade up onto the roof. And after the investigation was done, after all this had happened, they had found out that this grenade likely probably hit Michael in the chest, and then landed at his feet. And then from where he was standing, the stairwell was directly behind him, and he could have dove for safety and saved his life. But the problem was his fellow SEALs were looking in opposite directions than he was. They'd never seen this grenade. So they would have died instantly after this grenade and with its shrapnel. So without hesitation, Michael Mansour dove on this grenade and gave his life for his friends. He died 30 minutes after having done this. So, we know the Bible tells us that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But then you look at the love Jesus displayed on a cross, and he did die for his enemies. And that's something that we have a hard time comprehending or understanding. So in essence, Jesus smothered a grenade that I pulled a pin on and I threw at him. And he dove on that grenade and took that blast or that wrath of God for me. So, I mean, again, it's hard for us to understand that kind of love, this divine love that Jesus showed for us. The last section we're going to look at is verses 9 through 11. It's titled Justified Equals Reconciliation. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So, we see here in verse 9, it talks about, and much more than. You ever notice the commercials that you see on TV when they're offering to sell you something, and they say, you not only get this, but you also get this too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what Paul's saying here. Much more than what we just talked about, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, when it's talking about wrath, what wrath are we being saved from? Whose wrath?
God's wrath.
The wrath of God. So those of us who trust in Jesus Christ, God's wrath will never be an issue. But that's not true for everyone. John 3:36, and I turn there. I'm going to read that for us. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, this won't happen to us as Christians, but especially during this time that we're living in right now with all these uncertainties and things, it's no more important time than we have to pray for the lost in this world. Because they are going to see the wrath of God if they don't come to know His Son and believe in Him. Again, that's a great hope that we have, that we have been saved from the wrath of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But again, we have to know that that's not true for everyone. So we have got to pray for those who are lost. The next thing I want to look at is, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So, when we were enemies, again, God, because He declared us righteous, our status has changed from enemy of God to child of God. This verse right here points to, it's one of the most promising verses where it speaks to our security of our salvation. Because being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So, excuse me. If you can think about as much as Jesus did for us in His death, how much more is He going to do for us in His life? So, I mean, what a great certainty that we have. So again, the reason we don't lose our salvation is because we have a living, interceding high priest, which is Jesus. And we are reconciled by a dead Christ, but we are kept reconciled by a living Christ. Then, verse 11, and not only so, there again is that, again, even on top of that, so not only so, but we also have joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Joy, that should be, when you talk about fruit that you should see and salvation, that should definitely be one of the things you should see on a Christian's face, is joy. Because what a joy we have knowing that all of these trials and tribulations that we go through are going to come to an end one day. Going to be a place of happiness and of love and of joy that we'll get to spend eternity. There's going to be no more sickness, no more death. Not a more truer statement can be made than right now what we're seeing going on in our world today. But we have this joy that we know that we're going to get to spend eternity with God in heaven. So by whom we have now received the atonement. So we see in this word atonement or reconciliation. And that's the restoration of a friendly relations. He accomplished our reconciliation through Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. This reconciliation is a present possession. Though we wait patiently for the consummation of our salvation, we have now received the atonement. And we should be bragging on God daily for what He has done for us in Christ. Again, what's going on in the world right now, no better time to brag on God and what He's done for us and the hope that we have and our hope, who is Jesus, and what He has done for us and our certain future. What a joy we should have and should fill our faces. Meredith, you got anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
We're praying everybody stays safe and healthy, and we hope maybe we can do this again. This is our first time, so please bear with us, and I hope it made some sense. But again, we're praying for you guys, and we love you, and hope to see you soon.